Good evening, Sharks fans. The Sharks come out and make a statement tonight in game one, beating the Vegas Golden Knights 5-2. I am your host, Eric Landy. We've got Puck Guy and AJ live at the tank, so we will throw it to them soon. But first, I also want to introduce Al. Al's hanging out somewhere. And we do this for you guys, for the fans. It's a fan-driven show for the fans, by the fans. So we want you to be part of the show. Please, sorry, I've got the wrong link. Oops. Let's try that one more time.
Hey, Sharks win. Series leading 1-0 over the Vegas Golden Knights.
Now we got the graphic. Okay, so if you want to be a part of the show, use the hashtag TealTownUSA. Follow us on Twitter at TealTownUSA. You can also get us via Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and of course the YouTube chat where we are live monitoring in there. I think Al has got chat duties tonight, so I'm going to go throw it over to AJ and Puck Guy. Boys, how was it over at the tank?
It was incredibly an unbelievable atmosphere, AJ. What did you think of this place tonight?
I have to say, I don't know if it's a fact that the Sharks fans have been slightly jaded over these last few years of going to the playoffs so consistently. This was one of the loudest times. I don't know if Las Vegas just brings the best out of the Sharks fans. This was definitely one of the loudest times I've ever heard it in here. And I think it's because the Golden Knights knocked the Sharks out of the playoffs last season. I think that had a large part to do with it. And I think getting that first goal, well, getting the first goal and not letting the first goal in the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I think it was just one of those things where they just were, you know, they beat the 5 minute thing with the first goal. They had that done. I think that started building confidence. They also dominated puck possession, and especially early on, like the first two periods, Vegas only had 10 shots on goal. And that's something that we've seen Vegas just come out the first minute, get a goal, and then just come back, repeat back and forth, and just totally dominate the play. And that was something else that I couldn't see there.
I totally agree with that. And the other thing that I think is, will we see what happened tonight silence a lot of the haters on the social media who lamented the idea of Heed and Donskoy watching this from the press box while Ryan and Haley, of course, Haley slotting in. Haley had a solid game tonight. Yeah, he's not going to get huge minutes. I think at one point he had, 3 minutes after two periods? So he's not going to get huge minutes, but he was deployed and did what he was supposed to do. You saw at the end of this game, the Vegas Golden Knights kind of lose their heads a little bit. And either way, I cannot say enough good things, especially in the first and second period, but more in the first. I can't say enough good things about the fourth line tonight.
Fourth line was really good. I thought also their discipline was very key in this one, because they just definitely just got a lot of calls not called their way. I mean, let's be honest. There were some iffy calls that were going both teams.
There was a lot of non-calls tonight, but, playoffs are playoffs.
And maybe that game in a few weeks ago here in San Jose kind of set them up for that they knew they weren't going to get that call. It was something. I'm looking in the chat, Skylar Greenberg, who we saw tonight. To be honest, maybe it's good not having Donskoy for this game. It was nasty. And that's probably what PDB was kind of saying, that this will be nasty. Who are you going to have out there? So that's something to be watching out for the rest of the series.
Absolutely. Again, all the haters on social media are having a bad night, is what we're saying. what are you going to do? But the other thing that we have to call out tonight, Martin Jones gave us playoff Martin Jones, gave us 2016 playoff Martin Jones. Very good tonight. Made some huge saves on the back end of this game. Made some good saves early, but made key saves on the back end. And you know what's funny? This game tonight, not that Edmonton right now stacks up against the Golden Knights whatsoever, but it's very funny that Mark Stone tonight accounted for both of the Vegas goals. You go back just a week and a half ago, Edmonton, Draisaitl accounts for both of the goals. But you have to give it up for Mark Stone. You have to give it up for the Vegas franchise. That was a trade deadline deal that, like, they've won. A lot of people looked at Nashville and said they might have won it. No. The Vegas won that deadline deal. And you know what? The Sharks, hey, keep it rolling. Keep doing whatever it is you're doing. Get that first goal. Keep the first one out of those first 5 minutes. And, you know, maybe we'll get, again, I hate to talk about the officiating, but maybe we'll get some more balanced officiating in game 2 on Friday. Remains to be seen.
I completely agree, but give credit to Brent Burns. I mean, I know Landy and Mark and Al Armendáriz are going to break everything down period by period, but give credit to Brent Burns. Give credit to EK65, who I thought had a great two-way game tonight. I thought Evander Kane, yes, he was punishing, but he wasn't being stupid maybe till the end of it, you know, for sure.
I think there was a lot of stupidity happening in the last few minutes of this game, but the Sharks literally did what Vegas came into this building to do, and that was to get under the skin of the opponent, get them rattled, get them frustrated, and get them to do stupid things. And the Sharks basically played Vegas's game at Vegas.
Yeah, guys, I think also the neutral zone, the control in the neutral zone, the Sharks did an excellent job stymieing the quick attack of Vegas, and I also think that had a really big part to play in it, you know, kind of muddying the waters, slowing the game down just a little bit.
Yeah, their neutral zone game, Landy was mentioning, it was that they were really stymy to stop everything. They really didn't give that bad breakdown turnover that sent them on the way. And when they did, they had some nice defensive play. I remember Riley Smith early in the third period had a chance where they could get back into it. It was stopped by Jones. Burns got back. I mean, this team is doing things that these players aren't usually not doing. And that's a key thing for a championship run.
You also had Christian Ryan playing a solid game tonight. You know, Yoakum had been suspect over the last few games to end this regular season. Yoakum Ryan had a decent night tonight. Again, I go back to that fourth line. The other thing that I kind of go back to, but I want to call out, EK65 did not have a good game tonight. He made some really bad passes, some mistimed passes, especially to Joe Thornton. Usually we've seen EK pass with I don't want to say the simplicity, but that direct shot, putting it on a guy's tape. EK65 made some bad passes tonight. Now, that can happen after you miss, you know, 6 weeks of hockey. But if this is what happens with a 75% EK65, I can't wait to see what happens Friday.
Yeah, and Steve, thank you very much for the donation. Steve Cropper, we're giving you a shout out in that chat. And also Christian Ruiz, before both of you, thank you very, very much. It all goes to getting Puck Guy new internet.
I'll stop it. All right, with that, we'll send it to you guys to break down the game. We'll see you after game 2, guys. Have a great one. And the fifth line, like my mom said, you guys kept bringing it tonight. The seventh man, for sure. The fans were unbelievable. So keep it up. Oh, wait, one last thing from AJ.
One last thing, baby. We're always live. We're always interactive after every single Sharks game. So remember that. Do us a favor. Hit the subscribe button. Hit us on Twitter, on Instagram. And, hey, we're live here, and we're live from the tank. So thanks for checking us out.
And tell all your friends. And with that, we'll send off our bracelets to you. Landy, it's all yours, bud. Take it home. Have a good one.
Yeah, thank you, Puck Guy. Awesome check-in, guys. I really appreciate just kind of getting the feel for what it was like at the tank. The Sharks definitely fed off that seventh man energy. Also want to say thank you to Don Julio for the donation as well. Like I said, you know, we do this as a passion project. You know, we do this for the fans. We're fans. And honestly, we just kind of want to bring some more thoughts and opinions to the Sharks and get that social media kind of presence for our team. So we appreciate everybody who subscribes. Again, like AJ was saying, please go ahead and catch us you know, on all the social media platforms, but especially here on the YouTube, use that subscribe button and use the bell to see us go live. And, you know, you can always see us after every game because that's what we do. That's our shtick. Al, I am going to throw it to you for your initial thoughts on the game. And if you want to break down that beautiful, beautiful Joe Pavelski goal, why don't you go ahead and do it?
All right. So my official thoughts, you know, it was a great game by the Sharks. I kind of thought that only playing Ryan for 3 minutes was kind of a deciding factor. Just looking at the defensive core, they've really played a lot of their forwards, and that really did surprise Vegas the first and second period. You know, Pavelski got a great shot from Burns, and Pavelski has that knack of being in the right position. Of course, with that, he kind of took a shot into the chin or teeth area, so he might have had one or two teeth missing on the ice. But
yeah, the chiclets on the ice. Quickly want to say thank you to Christian, who donated again. Just another Randy, thank you. And Ramon, really appreciated. Everybody in the chat, thank you so much. You guys bring some really great comments. Sorry, Al, just wanted to give some shout outs.
Nope. Thank you for donating. Pavelski got a new Captain America helmet because to replace his chin, essentially, if you've been looking around the Twitter. But, you know, that, I think it was really critical to get the first goal of this series at home, not to get down and essentially not to have a repeat of what happened in early March when they lost to Vegas 7-1. You know, this team started off with a great start. Jones didn't let in a goal in the first 5 minutes. This was a really great start for the Sharks.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you there. I felt like the Sharks came in with a plan to kind of stymie the neutral zone attack of the Vegas Knights. They really kept hold of the puck, were great with their placement. Their passing was also tape to tape. You know, it was good. And I mean, there were some miscues, of course. I mean, you're not going to play a perfect game, that's for sure, but it was definitely cleaned up from other games that we've seen them play against Vegas. So, you know, the Sharks did what they needed to do in that first period. They brought it to them. They played a physical game. You know, I can, just kind of pointing out Hurdle's line, you know, basically having the first shift of the game down in their end. Actually, I think it was Logan's line, but, you know, followed up by Hurdle. And you know what? That's a big statement, especially coming into that game, because you thought, okay, if we can get through that first 5 minutes without letting in a goal, you know, good things were going to happen.
And I thought Jones played in general like a really great game. He was out of position, a lot of shots, and I felt like he was pretty comfortable in front of the net. There are a lot of times this season when he would slid out of the net and give up these easy opportunities. But I think this team is just kind of ready to go. And they've been kind of just sitting three or four games that were kind of meaningless at the end of the season, kind of just getting geared up and ready to go for the playoffs.
Yeah. Burge, thank you so much for the donation. We really appreciate it. I couldn't agree more with you. That goal coming from Pavelski's chin was on the power play. The Sharks really did a great job with the power play. The first three were really, really dangerous. You know, the guys touched on it a little bit about the officiating, and I don't want to go too much into it, but, you know, the first penalty came by a flagrant trip on Michael Haley. And let's recognize Michael Haley played a hell of a game tonight. You know, he's been getting a lot of flack in social media. You know, we try to look at the stats, you know, but we also are eyeball people. So I think most of us understood why he was in the lineup. We were a little I think a little miffed that Donskoy wasn't in the lineup, but you know what? Haley played a great game. He played a great game, and the fourth line did what it needed to do. It canceled out the other team's fourth line.
So with Haley, he was really smart with the puck, shooting at Fleury to get a direction to where you can get a Sharks shot. He played like 7 or 8 minutes tonight, and that's probably more than we would have thought going in. And Reeves didn't really have the best night. With Haley, it's really just his IQ, and sometimes he just makes bonehead plays. Maybe he clears that up. Maybe he goes on a streak. But this was a pretty good matchup against Vegas. It's against teams like Calgary, which are speed teams, that I think you can't place Haley in the lineup.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The shots on goal in that first period was 5-8 in favor of the Sharks. And we go into the second period, and the second period is really where the Sharks, you know, blew the door off the hinges, so to speak. It starts with a San Jose penalty kill, and the penalty kill really came up big tonight. Jones was pretty square to the shooter, and didn't give much for the Knights to shoot at. So, you know, it was a good positional kind of sound game from him. I felt like his setups when he was setting up to go into the butterfly it's still a work in progress for sure. But yeah, Especially on the penalty kill, he looked great. And the penalty killing forwards all looked great tonight. Going from that into the second San Jose goal, Brent Burns would just, he takes it, the puck is entering into the zone from Hertl. Hertl hands it off to Erik Karlsson. Erik Karlsson then hands it off to Brent Burns. Brent Burns basically bulls his way to the front of the net, goes top corner above Fleury's glove hand, and, just makes an incredible goal. And you could see Burnsy was just fired up. And you're like, wow, these guys are really putting the pedal to the metal. And Vegas had no answer at that point.
I mean, I thought Vegas was pretty consistent with their attack. Not so much in the second period, but in the third period, they brought it. I thought they could have maybe come with a comeback. But in terms of Fleury, though, I think he's still nursing an injury. Two out of the four goals that he let in were all top right corner. And the Sharks always kept shooting at that. So I think there's a scouting report about what to do against Fleury if you have the chance.
And Al, I think the other thing that you should bring up too is he got hit in the shoulder on that same, glove shoulder and looked like it stung him. So I'm with you. He might be nursing some kind of injury.
And this is the most starts he's had this season or in his career. And that's also in addition to what he played last year, bringing the Vegas Golden Knights to the Game 5 or Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. This is the most fatigued I think you can get from a Fleury who's been injury prone his entire career.
Hockey Mom, thank you for the donation. Yes, the safety razor came out today in preparation. This is day 0 of shaving the beard time. Got to do what you got to do, people. Yep. Going into the next goal, Marc-Edouard Vlasic. Boy, you talk about, talking about a guy who started off the year just not being himself, not playing up to his expectations, and he played excellent tonight. I mean, he was noticeable in the offensive zone, keeping pucks in, but that goal that he scored, great pass by Thornton and puts it again, glove side high, like on that shoulder, and the Sharks are up 3-0. And we're thinking, oh my goodness, 3-0 against Vegas. It's incredible. And I don't think anybody could have predicted that going into it. I think that if you thought there was going to be a 3-0 score from the Sharks, people would say that you're crazy or smoking something. So
I mean, the offense has been here the entire season. It's just the defensive lapses have really killed the team. Like, if things have really been consistent all year, we should have been probably in the race, probably beating Calgary easily for number one seed in the Pacific. But the defensive miscues all season have really cost that chance. And we've maybe lucked into playing Vegas, who lost, what, four out of their last six heading into the season, similar to the Sharks. So,
yeah, I mean, the thing is, and I think that the Sharks kind of knew this going down into the stretch, they're playing Vegas. And I think that this team was getting mentally prepared to play the Vegas Golden Knights, who have had their number consistently. And I think the Sharks really in that last game of the regular season kind of made a statement like, look, we're not going to go away easily this time. You know, we're a different team, and they definitely showed it. But you know what? You can't sleep on Vegas. And Mark Stone, their crown jewel acquisition of the trade deadline, comes through with a great goal. Stasny and Pacioretty also in on that goal as well. So that's the super second line, as they like to call it over in Vegas. But Mark Stone, you know, played a great game, and don't look now, but Vegas is kind of creeping back into this game. And that was 8:32 in the second. Al, did you see anything on that goal that, you know, what Sharks defensively? I know that it was a kind of a tip play in front, so Martin Jones really didn't have too much, you know, too much of an angle to play on that. But did you see anything there?
No, I didn't really see much there. You know, towards the end, I would say, I mean, the Sharks scored two goals in, what, 30 seconds. And then there was kind of a lull between the Sharks. Like, they kind of wanted to get to, I mean, before Kane's goal, I know we're going to get that, but the Sharks really did kind of, you know, turn over the puck a lot more in the neutral zone, be a lot more careless. I think that's what really caused that second period goal for the Vegas Golden Knights. It wasn't really, it wasn't really a lot of just, you know, Stone was in a great position, he made a great shot, but the miscues leading up to that point really did play a major factor.
Yeah, definitely a self-inflicted wound, and it was coming right after a power play. So the Sharks were still kind of getting their defensive set in order, and they happened to score. So, like they say, a power play influence kind of goal. Yep. And, you know, that second period had a lot of ebb and flows to it. And, you know, the Sharks weathered some of the Vegas storm, but I mean, Evander Kane with his goal tonight, and I cannot stress how important that goal was at the end of the second period. Evander Kane, Carlson in on the second assist of the night for him, and Gus Nyquist with his first point of the playoffs. And, you know, that kind of a goal is just a backbreaker. And the thing is, we were not seeing the Sharks, especially last year against against Vegas, we were not seeing that, you know, just that extra dagger kind of goal going in for them. So it was good to see them kind of put the pedal to the metal and, you know, kind of just snuff out any kind of life that Vegas would have gotten with that goal and, you know, stem their momentum. It was a great, you know, I would say great handling of the momentum by the Sharks.
Yeah, I mean, what I thought was going to go into this series was that Vegas was going to turn over the puck for the Sharks, or at least force the Sharks to turn over the puck. But the exact opposite happened. And
did we lose? I think we lost Al for a second. He glitched.
I am the glitch in the Matrix.
Uh-oh. But going into that third period, we knew that Vegas was going to have a pushback, and they did. For the second period, I mean, the Sharks outshot Vegas 5-14. But in that third period, I mean, Vegas really poured it on, trying to tie it up. They had 16 shots on goal to the Sharks 11. And Mark Stone comes through again with another goal, and it's 4-2. And it's on the power play, and you're thinking, uh-oh. Sharks are kind of reeling here. You could feel the momentum shift. and really kind of was hanging on for a good 4 to 5 minutes after that goal. Basically from 15:26 on, you know, the Sharks were really just hanging on by a thread. And then Tomáš Hertl with the empty net goal to, you know, seal the victory. But, you know, the Sharks weathered the Vegas storm pretty well. I would say matched the physicality of Vegas, and the Sharks imposed their game tonight. And I think that, you know, anything else we can take away from the game is the Sharks really played to their strength. They played to their core identity, a kind of more of a defensive identity, but they also lit up with 5 goals. So it's good to see that the offense is clicking, but it's really good to see that the defensive acumen has kind of returned. What do you think, Al?
I'm just kind of curious if they're going to continue onward with having only rotating primarily 5 defensemen and keep Ryan on the bench, or at least keep him on the roster. That's my main curious right now, because Carlson just came back and this is his second game back. He's going to get fatigued just because he hasn't had the playing time. He hasn't had the experience going through the season. And yeah, this guy is an all-star, but he hasn't had the reps of the regular season. And so my worry is that, let's say that we get through Vegas, then we have a new opponent who has the same travels and same experience. He's going to get more fatigued than anyone else compared to the Sharks. That's my worry. If you're really going to go 5 on this, that's my worry.
And yeah, I'm going to jump in on this topic for a sec. Hi, guys. I'm Kevin Lacey. Nice to be here.
nice to have you, Kevin.
I remember last year's playoffs, Joakim Ryan being sat out for long stretches of playoff games, to where you've got your overtime games and he's still not getting any ice time. So to what Al was just saying, like, if you're going to go 5 defensemen, you do have to get Ryan a shift in every now and then, because I'm worried that if the game goes 2-3 overtimes in, Ryan's still sitting on the bench, what good does that do?
Yeah, I mean, we have seen the Sharks in the past, though, ride 4 defensemen. So having that extra minute eater in Carlson, I think helps out immensely. But here's the stat line, guys. Time on ice tonight, Brendan Dillon with 17 minutes, Mark Edward Vlasic with 23. Joakim Ryan, we were alluding to it, he only had 3 minutes, 18 seconds. So I think all of his shifts were taken in the first. I don't even know if he got a shift in the third period. Justin Braun with 15 minutes, Erik Karlsson with 26 minutes, and Brent Burns with 28 minutes. So, you know, the two top alphas in Karlsson and Burns really, you know, keeping the minutes there. And Mark Edward Vlasic as well, logging some big minutes as well. So, you know, if that's the way that the Sharks are going to roll, I don't have a problem with it. But exactly to Kevin's point, you don't want burnout. And, you know, especially if you're going to have double overtime goals, double overtime games, sorry, and hopefully goals and games there. But
all right.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're exactly right. You got to worry about the fatigue factor, especially going for a long, long playoff series, which we think this thing's going to go. Kevin, I mean, since you just joined us, what was your overall thoughts of the game and how the Sharks executed their game plan tonight?
I think it was a little rocky there to start. I think that the Sharks were kind of feeling it out in the sense of just how physical is Vegas going to play? How much of a tempo are they going to try and control? And for a little bit, I mean, it was awesome. The first 6 seconds of the game, I think Logan Couture nearly scored. that would have been quite the series setter. But Vegas really dominated physically there for about 10 minutes, but the Sharks, you know, they weathered the storm. It was one of those games that I really do think they trended up. I always say that on this show. If you're trending up, you're doing things right. And I thought that once they got through that and said, okay, we're going to hang with you guys, and now it's our turn to bring it. And Vegas didn't know how to react. Vegas looked like a team that has struggled the last 10 games, whereas the Sharks look like the team they were tonight, at least before the last 20 games of the season. So if the Sharks continue to play like this January, early February squad that we saw, oh boy, Vegas, look out. I expect a far better effort overall out of Vegas in game two on Friday. I hope that's not the case because I'll be there. But, great way to start the series by the Sharks. I mean, they looked very solid, very convincing win.
Yeah, and going over the rest of the stats tonight, Vegas with 26 shots on goal, the Sharks with 33 shots on goal, faceoffs dead even at 50% each, Vegas going 1-for-4 on the power play, the Sharks going 1-for-5 on the power play, Vegas with 34 penalty minutes, the Sharks with 22 penalty minutes, hits 41-42 in favor of the Sharks. I mean, that's 83 hits between the two teams. This is black and blue. Big boy Pacific Hockey, folks. I mean, it was a brutal game tonight. And, the whole family tonight was watching, and we all said, boy, this screams shades of LA Kings, Sharks, and we've got a beautiful rivalry brewing right here. Block shots 21-16 in favor of the Knights. Giveaways 12-13 in favor of the Sharks. Not a good favor, by the way. But I think, for the most part, the high danger chances were pretty much eliminated. There were a couple, I think there were two really high dangers. I think one breakaway and one almost breakaway. The Sharks cleaned it up, though. I mean, they were pretty clean through the neutral zone, and I think that's very, very important. And they also stood up at the blue line. And that was the other point that I wanted to say is every time – Vegas tried to bring it through and trying to carry it through, the Sharks had a man on the blue line just standing them up. They basically had to dump and chase to try and get past the Sharks. And really, I mean, that is out of the element for Vegas. And you could see that they were not comfortable playing that chip and chase kind of style.
Definitely. The support was right there. If they needed two guys, they had three. The Sharks had three, it was there. I remember distinctively in the late first period, Erik Karlsson he was defending on 1-on-1. I think it was against Marchessault. Marchessault tried to do a spinorama around Karlsson. Karlsson held his own, and guess who came in and took the puck? Michael Haley. So, I mean, contributions from everybody tonight on both ends of the ice. It was great.
Well, boys, is it time for your favorite segment and my favorite segment?
I didn't think we were getting to the Barracuda yet.
No, I think what Kevin was Barracuda going games. For was... We'll reach around. So let's go ahead and let's recap tonight's games. Starting off with, I mean, guys, this is just a wonderful night of hockey. You had the Blue Jackets roaring back from a 3-0 deficit and beat the Lightning 4-3. I don't think anybody really predicted this. And Lightning are down 1-0 in their series. And that was a home game for the Lightning. So, I don't know. Maybe this is a little bit of a wake-up call for the Lightning. We'll see in game two. But, yeah, not a great look to give up three goals in that third period. Columbus, you got says the first goal was made by none. I don't understand that. But Nick Pagliano, Savard, Anderson.
That is true. Okay. None.
Yeah, right? Nick Fogliano and then Savard.
I think that's scoring by period.
Is it?
I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's scoring by period.
There was no scoring in the first period.
Okay, thank God. I was like, whoa, what am I reading here? So it's actually Alex Korn.
A none first name and a none last name.
Yeah, right? Alex Killorn with the first goal. Anthony Cirelli with the second goal. Yanni Gourde, former San Jose Barracuda, Yanni Gourde.
San Nick Francisco
Bull.
Yeah,
he was in the system. Nick Fogliano gets Columbus back in the game. It's a 1-3 in the second period. David Savard gets the Blue Jackets a little bit closer, 2-3. Josh Anderson ties it up, and then a power play goal by Seth Jones gives the Columbus Blue Jackets their final score, 4-3. And yeah, that was kind of an eye opener and a great way to start off the postseason for sure.
Yep.
Islanders beat the Penguins 4-3, and that one went to overtime. Phil Kessel, Evgeny Malkin, Justin Schultz, all scoring for the Penguins. Jordan Eberle, Brock Nelson, Nick Leddy, Josh Bailey scoring for the Islanders. The Islanders lead their series, and guys, Nassau Coliseum was rocking.
Barclays, I don't know if you guys, right? Or was it Nassau?
No, they were in Nassau.
Okay.
They were in the old barn. Yeah, and it was rocking.
That was a fun game to watch, guys. Like, I watched parts of that game, and the Penguins tied it late. And then the Islanders still almost won the game with about 3 seconds left.
Yeah, but off the post.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. But Bailey, Matt Barzal, Hockey Jerk's favorite player, just amazing patience with the puck in the offensive zone. And then eventually Josh Bailey got that OT winner. It was awesome. Great game.
Yeah. It was awesome. Blues beat the Jets 2-1. St. Louis, I mean, still trucking and doing a great job playing some defensive hockey. You got David Perron and Tyler Bozak scoring in the third period. Patrick Laine took the early, had the early goal in the first period to give the lead to Winnipeg. But St. Louis comes roaring back in the third with two goals, and they win it 2-1. Stars shocked the Predators, beating them 3-2. Dallas, it's Mikko Heiskanen with two goals, and Matt Zuccarello with the Matt Zuccarello who only played two games before getting injured. He gets a goal, and you know what? The Stars shock the Predators 3-2 over on the Predator side. Roman Josi and PK Subban scoring there, And then, you know, we have our game, the nightcap. Sharks beat the Golden Knights 5-2. And with that, we are going to the Barracuda recap with Mr. Lacey.
All right. Well, the Barracuda also had good things tonight because the Barracuda clinched home ice advantage in the first round by defeating the San Diego Gulls 4-3. 4-3-ish, because the goals got a goal with 7 seconds left in trash time. But I of course was watching the Sharks game, so I briefly was getting through the highlights. But Max Letunov back in the lineup tonight, a guy who everyone was really high on at the start of the year, slumped for a while, and I think he's got a nagging injury because he's been in and out of the lineup. Missed the last, I think, three games, but tonight he comes in, a goal and two assists. The first three goals for the Barracuda, all faceoff plays. Max Letunov won the first two, setting up, Francis Perron with a tip in, and John Martin basically just stood in his spot off the faceoff, watched Letunov dance around behind the net. Martin standing there, wide open, goal. And then John McCarthy won a faceoff to Evan Wenger, goal. And then there was a breakaway in the third period. Perron setting up John Martin up to Mr. Letunov, 4-1, eventually 4-2, 4-3. San Diego made that late push, but San Jose Barracuda home ice in the first round. But what that means is that games 1 and 2 will be on the road, TBD. Because right now the Barracuda still have an opportunity to get to the first overall seed, but the Bakersfield Condors are playing the two lowest teams in the division. Their last two games, Stockton and Ontario. Sorry, I'm just kind of rambling through this. Please stop me at some time. the thing with the Barracuda that I'm excited about is while Bakersfield's playing the low teams like Stockton and Ontario here these last couple of games, the Barracuda have to play Colorado in the last two games, and Colorado is still fighting for a playoff spot. And I think that's a better way to go into the playoffs, especially with this team trying to find consistency and whatnot, you're not going to survive in the playoffs beating the low teams consistently. You have to beat teams like Grand Rapids, like San Diego tonight, hopefully back-to-back against Colorado. And those are all teams fighting to get into the playoffs, and the Barracuda were in that role. Now that they're there, it'd be really sweet to see them make a long push through the Calder Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see that group of San Jose Barracuda, you know, really push into it. I know Merkley is going to be playing. Chmielewski and Chekovich are also up. So, you know, it'd be good to get them some playoff experience and, you know, any kind of experience you can get for the Baby Sharks is great, because definitely, you know, just it, you know, it just builds, and you know, when they come into the league, into the NHL, they'll be ready and they'll kind of understand what playoffs are like, and you know, just be that much better for it.
I equate it to the Giants all the time, even though obviously two different sports, but if you look at the Giants and their world championship run, they did it by winning through the minor leagues. So why not have that happen with the Sharks? Have the Barracuda. I mean, obviously, it'd be nice to see a Stanley Cup victory before a Calder Cup victory, because in that case, who cares?
Yeah.
But if it's not to be for the Sharks this year, it'd be really nice to see the Barracuda get that Calder Cup, get some winning experience. Sasha Chmielewski, you mentioned, he's actually in juniors right now. He's going to get ready to play in the Memorial Cup tournament. So, again, playoff experience, winning environment, that's what you need when you're working your way up to the big club, because then you still a different element, of course, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but just having that background goes a long way.
Yeah, for sure. So kind of foreshadowing a little bit to tomorrow's playoff games, if you have not marked this down on the calendar, you need to. And I know it's an Eastern game, so it is a little bit early for all of us, but Toronto at Boston, you know there's going to be fireworks in that game. That's a can't miss. Carolina also opens their playoff run on the road at Washington. And Colorado Calgary is the nightcap at 7 o'clock Pacific time. So we've got some great games on the docket. I mean, we had some fireworks opening up the playoffs tonight. And boys, this is my favorite time of the season. I don't know about you all, but this is some great hockey, and we've got some muddying of the waters already in our game. And I can't wait to see what the Friday brings for sure.
Yeah, this is the best time of the sports calendar. You got baseball going, you got basketball playoffs starting up, you got hockey playoffs, which are the best playoffs. This is the best.
So, Kevin, let's get your last thoughts on where the people can find you.
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at KevinLacey22 and at SAP Center on Friday night in the former rockin', hope to be rockin' section 209, turtleneck and all. So it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Go find Kevin Lacey in his signature turtleneck. Al, let's get your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
Great game. Series 1-0. That's the best you could probably get right now. You can find me on Twitter at Al Martinet. Free to chat hockey, all things. Great game. Game 2 is on Friday.
Yeah, and my final thoughts. Keep the pedal to the metal. Come out with the same exact game plan as they came out with tonight. Be physical, but also continue that puck possession and just keep wearing down those Knights defensemen, because let's face it, that's really where the Achilles heel of that team is on defense. So the more that they can pound and forecheck on the Knights defense, I think the better the shot the Sharks are going to have to take this home. If you want to get the replay, please use YouTube to find us on the replay, but you can also find us on all these other platforms. We're on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn. I believe we're on Spotify now. So if you want to catch the audio replay, use any of those dissemination methods. And if you want to catch the video recap, you can check it out here on the YouTubes. Also, for great Sharks content and great editorials, check out TealTownUSA.com. We've also got all of the post games up on there as well, so you can find us practically everywhere. As it says in the cue card, catch us everywhere. And as far as where you can find me on the social media garbage, you can use my first name, that's Eric with a K, and my last name, that's L-A-N-D-I, Landy, and find me and reach out anywhere on the social media. Gentlemen, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on. We want to say thank you to AJ and to Puck Guy for coming live at the tank. And I'm going to do my best impression of Puck Guy here. But ladies and gentlemen, keep it real. Keep it real, Teal. Thanks all, and have a great night.